The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Sometime in the middle of the week, getting there. We're going to talk about a number of things tonight. Hope you're ready for a fun, fascinating, and informative 3 hours. Bill O'Reilly has been given his walking papers, as they say. This issue has many facets to it. Certainly, I think the war against white males can be involved in a conversation about this without stretching things too far. This is not a good issue. It's corrupt. It's got a lot of different aspects to it that are not engendering pride in the media or in the way we treat people. He has contributed. I don't always like what he says. In fact, most of the time he's a pain in the butt to watch. I don't watch him. But this is not a good situation. Anyway, Devi, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
Fine.
That a girl. I always want to make sure you're fine. This. Tell us more about this O'Reilly thing.
Well, it's the speed in which individuals are being dispatched.
Dispatched. Boy, that's the same word that popped into my head. Exactly.
But look how lightning fast it is. Let's go back to General Flynn. They ran him out of the White House literally in a week.
Exactly.
It was over for him.
Yep.
Okay? With no proof, no nothing. Just George Soros's money and these misguided, brainwashed Americans out there working so hard for their own destruction. The next one was Monica Crowley.
Let me go back to Flynn just for a moment.
I
wouldn't omit the name Kushner from that really ugly dismemberment of someone, which is what it was. Go ahead.
Then they moved to Monica Crowley, mm-hmm. who is a staunch conservative, made appearances on Bill O'Reilly all the time. You can call them the left, the liberals, the progressive. To me, liberals are socialists, and the progressive liberals are full-blown communists. They're Marxists down to the fine grain of their hair. But
you got it.
They went after her allegedly for plagiarism in her latest book. Of course, by the time it was sorted out, she was booted from being a communications director under Donald Trump. She was somebody that he wanted in that position, just like he did General Flynn. Next, we have Bill O'Reilly. Now, like you said, Bill O'Reilly was not my favorite person. He knew nothing, very little about the Constitution, despite all his bloviating, which is one of his favorite words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he was a teacher and, you know, he's a Harvard grad or whatever. He really did not understand the Constitution very well. But I always give credit where credit's due, and I give Bill O'Reilly a lot of credit over the years when he went after crooked judges, you know, for sentencing, you know, somebody who's committed a heinous crime to basically slap on the wrist,
right,
to going after the scumbags in the Congress over things like Megan's Law. He was very good at that type of journalism and covering that. And he obviously had very, very good people who did research for him. Unfortunately, like I said, when it came to the Constitution, he really didn't know what he was talking about. But mm-hmm. here's a guy who literally catapulted Fox News into the stratosphere. You got to give this guy credit.
Oh, he was the man. You're right.
Yes.
Totally
when we're
right.
talking about Rush Limbaugh, I can remember when I was back in Sacramento, back in 1993, having never heard him, all of a sudden he was everywhere. And so when out there in the history of talk radio and stuff, Rush Limbaugh is known as the king of talk radio. I mean, he's been at the top, and that's fine. He wants people want to listen to him. He's very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't, you know, cover the things that I feel that he should for the benefit of his audience. But going back to O'Reilly, we're talking about a powerhouse here, a man who made porn peddler
Rupert
Murdoch. That's how he made a lot of his money. A lot of people don't know that.
No.
But he used to own some of the biggest pornography channels in the world.
Yep.
I mean, he was a TNA guy to the end.
That's what the Jews own, the pornography business. Okay, they've cultivated it. They've made a market for it, and they are draining the souls of a lot of people with that filth. Yeah.
Yes, but now he's got two sons, and one of the sons is married to a liberal. But from what everything I could read, they're the ones who wanted, or the wife of one of the sons, Lachlan, I think his name is, wanted Bill O'Reilly gone. I guess because he wasn't liberal enough for them. But all of this shakeup at Fox News, and you know, I since February I haven't had cable TV, so I don't, you know, only what I can read on the internet. But to take your star, I mean, this is the equivalent of cutting Tom yeah. Brady the day after the Super Bowl. Why
it's really amazing.
And why would you do that?
If you what know, you said is, if excuse me, but if what you said, and I hadn't heard this, if one of Murdoch's son's wives yep. wanted O'Reilly's yes. heads,
yep.
Why does this smack of Princess Ivanka wanting daddy to send those cruise missiles into Syria? It's kind of the same thing. It's nepotism.
It is very much the same thing, yeah. And I thought that exact line of thinking when I was going through some of the more detailed things today, but... Mm-hmm. Like I said, how stupid would it be for the New England Patriots to cut Tom Brady the day after the Super Bowl? I mean, this is the same. We're talking about a powerhouse, a person who was at the very top of cable television.
He literally created a network, basically. He really did.
He brought there. I mean, the demographics were, you know, 45 to 70 or something like that. He obviously wasn't a favorite of the snowflakes out there who have suffered from mind melt. But you're talking about your superstar. Mm-hmm. Now, Roger Ailes, this business with him, it's been about a year.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how quickly he was out the door? I mean, boom.
And it was also within a week. You
yes.
heard a few rumors, and then he's gone. You're right.
Now, we do know that Bill O'Reilly was caught, because the woman taped his sex calls to her. This was, what, at least 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Okay? All right. So we know that, and Bill O'Reilly and his wife have been divorced for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. So, which, you know, just probably led to that. I mean, your husband's sitting there whacking off on the phone to one of his employees and she's taping it. Mm-hmm. So he could not escape that particular charge. But individuals like him, they are targets. They are targets of opportunists, whether they're political opportunists or financial opportunists.
Right.
But there should be something, something before you go out and ruin somebody's reputation. So we know that O'Reilly had his sex phone thing about at least 10 years ago. It was before I left California in 2006.
Yeah.
So he ended up paying quite a bit of money to that woman. But, and he's 6'5". He's a very big man.
He's 3 inches taller than Donald Trump. How interesting.
He's 6'5", but he's a big man. And they can be a man that large, which I've actually dated a couple of guys that were 6'5" and 6'6". So I know they're very, they can be kind of scary in a way if you don't know the person. But supposedly the straw that broke the camel's back was a woman who popped out of nowhere, like, you know, I'm not going to say Bill Clinton's bimbos, but I'm going to say these females that suddenly pop out of every pore, claims that Bill O'Reilly called her hot chocolate.
Yeah, so apparently a black woman claimed that O'Reilly called her hot chocolate. Mm-hmm. What a crime. What a crime. Boy, there's a crime.
Now, first of all, I happen to think, and I have seen women who are of the black or Negro race who have some of the most beautiful skin I've ever seen.
Oh, sure.
And in different shades, okay, like chocolate. And their skin is just gorgeous. These women are beautiful.
It's like calling a Caucasian woman, your skin is like ivory. It's beautiful. Same thing. Exactly,
yes,
the same
saying,
thing.
You know, that you know, your skin is just like, you know, a baby's butt. It's so
that's
pure,
true. That's
so
another one.
Beautiful. I wouldn't take that. But where are the snowflakes? Where are all of these people who are picketing outside Fox? Do they remember the song by Mick Jagger called Brown Sugar? Do you remember that song?
A long time ago. No,
long
they don't remember.
Ago. And what did Mick Jagger, who wrote most of the song, supposedly in 45 minutes, Brown Sugar. How come you taste so good? Brown sugar, just like a young girl should.
Mm-hmm.
Brown sugar, how come you dance so good? Brown sugar, just like a black girl should. Just like a black girl should. Brown sugar, how come you taste so good? Now, what is the difference if this alleged comment was made about hot chocolate? How is that more offensive than Mick Jagger talking about black girls
and
brown sugar and how good they taste?
Yeah.
And how good that they are. Where's the difference?
No.
I don't hear any difference.
There's none. In fact, there's even less. It's absurd. This whole hypocrisy is off the scale. They went after him. For some reason, they went after him.
Yeah, well, they want him off the air.
That's right.
It's not that he... Because most of the country does not know what you and I and your listening audience know about things like the Federal Reserve, the income tax, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Skull and Bones... Go down the list, the problem with Social Security. They don't know that. Bill O'Reilly, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh. I was just talking to somebody about this morning. I was out in between doing something today. Let me put it that way. You know what it was. But and I had Rush Limbaugh on. And what was he talking about? He was talking about the fact that, speaking of the Patriots, that Tom Brady would not be at the White House today with the rest of the Patriots and Bill Belichick, you know, celebrating the winning.
Right.
And it truly was one of the greatest comebacks in football. I have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, okay, Rush, people can listen to what if they want to on ESPN. That's a sports network. Why are you not talking about the caucus that is working hard in the United States Congress to put together and get adopted an amendment for term limits for members of Congress? Why are you not talking about how come a bill to stop double taxing Social Security for our seniors? You pay Social Security taxes when you're working. You retire, you apply for your benefits, and then they tax those benefits again. That's double taxation. Two bills, 2012 and to 2014 is one session. 2014 to 2016 was the second time it was introduced. Both times it died in committee. Where were you, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and the rest of you who are able to draw 8 to 10 to 12 million viewers and listeners a week? Why are we talking about Tom Brady not going to the White House today? You know, so there's no real substance to their discussions. But whatever, for whatever reason, the Murdoch boys, especially the wife of one of them, I think it's Lachlan. I don't remember the wife's name. They wanted him gone. They wanted O'Reilly gone as much as they want Fox News gone,
mm-hmm.
which they're too stupid to understand that Fox News and Bill, let's go back at Bill O'Reilly. He saw Obama's birth certificate. He saw an announcement in a Hawaii newspaper that said that Barry Satoru was born in Hawaii. Blah. I mean, a lot of things. Bill O'Reilly is their ally because he doesn't tell the truth.
It really doesn't make a cognitive linear sense at all. It's something screwy.
So he goes on vacation. He saw the Pope yesterday. He took his sons with him. He's gone literally in a week. One of the biggest ever, you know. Now Rush Limbaugh, he survived. He survived whatever her name was. Remember that chick who couldn't pay for her birth control pills?
That's right.
And he made a disparaging comment about her.
He survived a cigar box full of OxyContin. He survived all kinds of things. You're right.
Yes, but that woman who, you know, he shouldn't. I think he used the word slut, and he shouldn't have. But the sponsors, they flew the coop, you know. And what was that? 7-8 years ago, it was after, right after Obama took office, or right before, okay, because that was a big deal. Obama's going to pay your car payment. He's going to pay for your birth control bills.
Put gas in your tank. He's going to take care of it all.
Yeah. So that was early on. But the $100 million a year man down there in Florida, he survived it. But for the Murdochs, you know, they control, the sons apparently control the old man, I guess, now to a great degree. But they wanted him in 1 week. It's remarkable what has happened to Bill O'Reilly. And, you know, I saw his release today where he said that he wishes the station nothing but, you know, good stuff. But, you know, he must be pissed.
Did they give him a severance chunk?
Well, he just signed his new contract.
Well, then they had to pay him off.
A couple of months ago, $20 million a year for the next 5 years.
They had to pay him off big time.
They had to buy out Roger Ailes for $40 million.
Yeah.
So Bill O'Reilly's going to have, and already does, have, you know, a ton of money. And, you know, his books, I've not read any of them, but he raised literally tens of millions of dollars for charity. You know, he did not take royalty for all of those books he's written, Killing Lincoln and Killing Reagan. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
All of his not commissions, what do you call it? Well, anyway, he donated all of it to charity. He didn't personally take any, but they got
him. That's interesting. See, we don't know that side of him, and it's primarily because of his mouth and his attitude. People, they don't look beyond that. They have a visceral reaction to it.
Well, he doesn't brag about things like that.
That's right. He's quiet, and that's a sign of a real gentleman when it comes to those things. You don't play them.
Because he's so wealthy from doing what he's been doing for, you know, his entire adult life. He was on Inside Edition before Fox, and so he's always been, and before that, you know, he was a teacher, and so he's always had a very good income. Obviously, Fox News put him over, you know, the top into multi-millionaire status, and how much money do you really need in a lifetime?
Right.
But, you know, he has his good side and his bad side. He got caught with the sex talk on the phone. One would think.
And, you know, we don't know. That may have been just one of many. We don't know. It doesn't matter. It's not our business.
Well,
unfortunately, that became our business. Go ahead.
Yeah. For the other ones, we don't know. You know, he paid off the blonde who was a former Miss America or whatever. They paid her off for $20 million. But what I think of it that many people don't realize is that big corporations, they pay off lawsuits because some of them they call what are referred to as nuisance lawsuits.
Yeah.
Like the person who says, you know, they found a bug in their salad.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Those that they, you know, so the deeper the pockets, you know, they go after them. But without some kind of proof, like the taped recordings, and this woman who sued him, there was like 6 or 7 tapes. Okay, and they were going to make him public, and I guess it would have embarrassed him because he really was whacking off on the phone. I mean, it's some of it was in the court. Some of the court papers were leaked to the press, and I read it, the transcripts, and yes, it's not something that you would want your young children to hear.
No,
but
no.
For this, you know.
When you're a public figure, you have no privacy, period. Anybody you talk to could be recording you at any time. And let me tell you something else. It's very damned easy to edit recordings and make them sound flawlessly, digitally flawlessly, like something else. It's really easy to do. You can screw anybody over that way now. So,
yes.
Hold on.
Oh, break.
We'll finish up. Go ahead.
I was just going to, before we go into the H1B crackdown, that this should bother everybody, whether you like Bill O'Reilly or not, whether you watch Fox News or not, because the forces behind all of this is killing the First Amendment. They wanted this guy off the air. They wanted Monica Crowley out of the White House. They wanted General Flynn out of the White House. They tried to get Rush Limbaugh. They couldn't get him. They're gunning for Sean Hannity now.
We need we need to talk more about this. Hannity.
Oh, go ahead. We can.
As soon as we come back, because this is part of a much bigger canvas.
Yes.
It's a very important issue.
There's more to this than just
Bill O'Reilly. It's not just O'Reilly and Flynn and Crowley. This is a big thing going on. Stand by, DV, and I'll be right back. Okay, let's get right back to our conversation. There is a war. There are multiple wars going on, basically from the power brokers down upon us peons. There is a major war being fought through the media against free speech. The fake news, the mainstream media, doesn't like free speech. And if you're in the media and you're saying things that they don't like, that don't go along with the First Amendment in their minds and their particular agenda, they'll come after you. This is going to be huge. You're going to see all the social media involved. They already are, but you're not seeing it as well as you will. Facebook, Google, YouTube, it doesn't matter. They're all going to begin to censor the news. They're already demonetizing people. as you know, you should know, on YouTube, if you have a string of videos that goes against their agenda, against the New World Order, etc., etc., they'll just take your money away. They'll demonetize your videos. A lot of people rely on that actually to support themselves and their careers. This is happening all the time. Very easy to do. Now, I know there's more to this Bill O'Reilly thing. I don't know what it is, D.V., but there's more to this. It smells just like Flynn.
Yes, it does. And I tried to find this during the commercial break, but I Google and even start, start page, whatever it is I use.
Whatever.
I'm having trouble finding my columns, even though I know every word
see?
In them.
See?
But, yep. But the one I was looking for, I was talking about back in the 30s when there was the newspapers were not all owned by the same corporations. And the Cleveland Plains Dealer, Cleveland mm-hmm. Plain Dealer.
Right.
And I forget what the whole title of their news, but I actually have the newspapers. I took the time to write to them.
Hmm.
They keep all these back issues. For newspapers like that, back when I wrote the column, which is probably at least 10 years ago, they don't keep them on microfilm at your local library. You have to write to them and request a certain issues, which somebody had sent me, you know, the quotes. And so I had, you know, to verify it, I got myself copies of these two newspapers. And they were talking about FDR's New Deal being the biggest step towards communism that the country had ever experienced since its founding. I mean, they just blistered FDR to no end.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, today, you would never see anything like that about Barry Satoro or George Soros or anything in the Los Angeles Times, the Washington Post, the New York Times with all the news that's fit to fake. There is a concerted effort out there to shut down the truth. And they're going after people. And like I said, this is, to me, stunning how quickly they're taking these people out without any proof.
No, you know, no due process, nothing.
No. And with General Flynn, I believe, and I flagged it because I'm going to stick it in an article someplace, that by the time they, meaning people that weeded through all of this, it was determined that Flynn, it wasn't that he didn't tell Pence, who I despise. It's that there were two different incidences that were being discussed and they got mixed up and deliberately, in my opinion. And Crowley, by the time her publisher, they, you know, could go and back up the fact that she did not plagiarize some quotes or something in her book, it was too late. Trump knee-jerked on both of them and he should not have. To me, there are big mistakes that he made. Because he's a neophyte in this.
That's right.
In this cesspool of dirt and filth out there. But I'm telling you, Sean Hannity, he's next on the radar. Mark my words.
Why do you think that? Just because he is so loyal to Trump?
Limbaugh and Hannity, and I talked about this before on your show during the mess they called the presidential election cycle. They had an epiphany about the Republican Party, the two of them. They've come out swinging against him. And Hannity is, you know, up until I don't have cable anymore, but I listen to him when I'm driving around town and stuff, if it's that time of day. And he's pulling no punches still to this day. He is pissed at the Republicans. You know, just the other day, he's harped on this over and over. You Republicans have had 8 years to do Obamacare. 8 years. Come back from your damn 2-week Easter vacation and get the job done. Now, today he was talking about the fact that it's a little over 100 days into Trump's administration. And still, what do we have? We have the other swamp which is called the U.S. Congress. Okay? What have they done? Nothing.
No.
They've had all these years to bitch and moan and groan about this Marxist who is a fraud in the White House, you know? And in their planning of, you know, determined to take the Senate back and take the White House, and they don't have any idea what the hell they're doing. No, they honestly, they don't, because they don't want to offend the big corporations. You know, Paul Rat Ryan is owned by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And
and other groups.
And other groups. Yeah, you know, this Congressman Buck, I forget his first name, but his new book just came out, you know, about how the corruption in Washington is so much worse than people actually know. And he covered that, you know, you're required to spend an X amount of time fundraising for the party. And if you're, you know, on certain committees, you are, you know, required to spend the time working on behalf of the party and raising money for the party and this, that, and the other. And I'm just thinking to myself, well, you know, when Donald Trump talked about draining the swamp, what he was talking about was getting rid of the Obama, and certainly not putting Hillary Clinton in there, and getting rid of the holdovers and stuff. And so, and this is my honest criticism of Trump, okay? He wants the feedback of Americans. Well, here it is. You're filling the swamp, President Trump. You've got
deeper.
13 members of the CFR.
Yeah.
Okay, 13.
13 now. Oh.
13,
wow.
Yes. Okay, and you've got all these Goldman Sachs people. Now, Mnuchin, who's the Secretary of the Treasury, he was Goldman Sachs, but I think this guy has kind of had an epiphany in his life. He is completely different than he was 10, 12 years ago. Mm. So I'm giving him a little bit of slack.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump has cracked down through, let's see, how did he do this? His new order mandates that the Department of Justice, Labor, and Homeland Security conduct legal reviews of the H-1B system,
yeah,
on the impact on American labor. Because, you know, the other day, wherever he was, Michigan or wherever it was, you know, he was talking about, I believe it's an executive order, the government's going to have to buy American, which it should. I mean, years ago, I damn near had a heart attack when I was read a piece on the internet about the fact that army boots for the United States Army, God's sakes, were made in communist China.
Yeah.
Oh, what
I
is
remember
communism?
That. Yeah.
It's just a word, because those 58,000 American soldiers who were killed in Vietnam to stop the spread of communism, 550,000 soldiers came home injured and maimed, crippled, mentally gone for the rest of their lives over the Vietnam era, because it was another undeclared war, to stop communism from spreading to Vietnam. Oh, well, it's just a word, because for the last 5 years, Vietnam, very proudly, is a communist country now. And so what do we have? Who do we have making U.S. Army boots back then? Communist China. So somebody please tell me why the U.S. Congress should not be the other swamp.
Because oh, absolutely.
They're
no
dirtier
question.
Than a toilet.
Yeah.
They're dirtier than a baby's diaper.
Oh, yeah.
But kudos,
yeah.
Kudos for him on this visa thing. In my column, I guess for Monday, I believe it was this Monday's column when I talked about the IRS.
Yes.
Or it could have been last week.
No, it was this week.
A million university-level jobs in this country, a million are held by foreign employees over American workers.
See, that shouldn't even be on the table. They shouldn't be here. This should not happen. It shouldn't. It goes without saying, America is American. And we have 95 million people. I keep saying the same, harping on it. These people should all be employed. If there are jobs for them anymore, and I'm not sure that there are that many jobs, even full, when you look at them, of foreigners.
Well, but the jobs that are out there, you know, NAFTA was the beginning of turning our economy from the industrial era that made us the greatest powerhouse on the planet.
A manufacturing capital goods producing economy, exactly.
Manufacturing, industrial, and agriculture. The three sectors that made America the most prosperous, debt-free country on the globe. But NAFTA, by shipping all of these jobs out of the United States, gradually has turned America into retail and entertainment.
And it's a leisure time economy. That's what it is. Sure.
Yes. And so, and preference, giving preferential treatment to foreign workers from India over American workers.
Especially in IT, by the way. There are more Indians with PhDs graduated every year than there are all college graduates in America. More PhDs in India.
Yeah. And do you think that if you shipped a million qualified Americans to India for those IT jobs, that they would be given preferential treatment?
They wouldn't get in the front door.
But the amazing thing is that the very individuals who caused this to happen, speaking of Newt Gingrich and Nancy Pelosi, and Congress after Congress, and President after President, and the people still vote them back into office. Here they are out of work. Here they are with their professions. I mean, I met a guy where my mom lives in Lake Oroville. I had to go make copies for her at Staples. Here was a guy who was in the IT industry for more than a decade. He was a college graduate from some Northwestern university or something. And there he was. And there's nothing dishonorable about working in the copy department at Staples, okay? You work for, you know, give an honest day's labor for an honest day's of wages. But that's not why he went to college, okay? A lot of college students work jobs like that at Staples while they work their way through college if they're not a server at a restaurant or something.
Exactly.
But what do the people do? They turn around and reelect the people who destroyed these very job sectors. It's insanity.
And it's not getting any better.
The primaries for 2018 election start in February. We're already halfway towards
re-election time, boy. Campaigns.
Yes.
Yeah, they term limits, it's all we can do. But it won't happen. They're not going to vote themselves out of a
because the American people not enough of them know. I mean, I get email all the time. Oh, Devi, we got these, you know, get rid of these SOBs, so and so, and in the Congress. And I write back, you know, I keep a file for what I call my pat responses because I get so many of the repeat. And this, my response is, did you know that there's a term limit caucus in the U.S. Congress right now working to try to get a constitutional amendment adopted by Congress for term limits? Do you know that how many millions of Americans would love to see term limits for Congress? Just go out and ask anybody on the street. Get rid of these people. They keep getting reelected, but yet they know nothing about this constitutional amendment.
No.
Where is the voice of the Tea Party, for crying out loud? After 2008, they grew to 4.1 million angry Americans. Now, the Tea Party? Well, the wind is stronger here in Big Spring, Texas, than the Tea Party nationwide. What happened to your voices?
They're gone.
Out here?
They're gone. They're a little footnote and asterisk.
Compromised at the top level.
They were penetrated and taken over, in my view, right away.
That's what I put in my column. When I started my project on winning economic reform power in 1993, I've been asked a million times in 26 years, what is your organization? I say, I never had one. You don't? Nope. Why? Because I can't be everywhere at once. You know, I've only been doing this for you know, a couple of years. I don't trust anybody. But you have to remember, as green as I was back then, this is something I knew. All politics are local. How do you think Professor Bratt, how do you think he defeated another powerhouse like Eric Cantor? Here's a professor that nobody knew, mm-hmm. who had very little money, and he took out the Republican majority whip who'd been in office 8 terms. Took his ass to the cleaners during the primary.
Yeah.
That's where the election starts, at the local level. That's where we clean.
Well, you got to, I don't know how we can wake up the sleepwalkers and get them to understand that. Here's a good little paragraph.
I do.
I do. Go ahead. Tell us.
Make a concerted effort to call, if you can, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity's radio shows, or Laura Ingraham, or any of these other, quote, conservatives out there, and say, listen, I want to change the dialogue here a little bit. The primaries are coming up in February. You know, well, let's drain the swamp called Congress. But the election is not in November of 2018, Rush. The election starts in the primary. Remember Eric Cantor, this guy, a nobody.
Yeah.
Well, not a nobody. I don't want to disparage the guy. But an unknown, you know, college professor with no money took out the majority House whip. Okay?
That's
Let's
always
talk
seemed,
about that.
Yeah. Davey, that's always seemed weird to me. That the let's be honest here, that the Jewish American political machine would let that happen to one of their own. That guy was a powerhouse, and I'm just wondering if he screwed up and they let him lose. That's
they
an amazing thing.
Because here's how it happened, in my humble opinion.
They just
Eric
didn't
Cantor,
bother. Too big of an ego, right?
Eric Cantor was an 8-term congressman.
Right.
Okay. 16. He was considered what they call safe.
Mm-hmm.
He did not campaign. He ignored this, quote, nobody
right.
that had very little money. But what was Mr. Nobody, this college professor named Bratt, I forget his first name, he had his army on the ground going door to door with his campaign literature and setting up rallies for him. While Eric Cantor was playing big shot, this guy.
Well, it's just real grassroots, and it can work.
And it caught them by surprise.
Well, that was
caught them by surprise.
That's really one of the biggest.
They didn't let it happen to Rat Ryan.
Oh, no, no.
Paul
they
Ryan.
Closed ranks
oh,
real
no.
quick on him.
Oh, boy, did they ever.
Yeah.
But those numbers, Paul Nealon probably won that primary. Okay.
Yeah, you mentioned that before. I don't know, but you are without question.
That's what voting machines. That's what electronics are for. It's called vote fraud.
No, you're totally right. I remember reading the book Vote Scam by the Colliers.
Oh gosh, long time ago.
What a book, though.
Yeah.
And those were paper ballots, hand counted, and they tried to follow their ballots. And boy, did they find a lot of stuff. Now, here's another weird thing. I don't want to get too much into this, but it's strange. As you know, Alex Jones is fighting his ex-wife to maintain custody of their 3 children. She's trying to take them away. She's calling him unstable. And now, we saw this 2 days ago. Now, I'm going to ask all of you who are big fans of Alex Jones, what do you do with this? Alex Jones' lawyer is a quote, says Jones is a, quote, performance artist, just playing a, quote, character, end quote. This is what they're trying to do to, I guess, throw off this thing about him being unstable because he acts pretty wild on his program. So now they're calling him just a performance artist. So what does that mean about fake news? Is
well,
he
this is a custody battle, but here in Texas, before I didn't quite get this in, Dr. Laura Presley, PhD, she ran for an election in Austin, where Alex Jones is based, and she allegedly lost. So she has sued, and she just filed with the Texas Supreme Court because what she found, her and her volunteers, they're using ballots that were illegal, more ballots than voters. I mean, her case is one of the strongest I've ever seen. And it's now she's just filed with the Texas Supreme Court when just, you know, talking about vote fraud. She has one of the strongest cases I've seen. This is going to be interesting. But as far as Jones goes, you know, what else could his attorney say? You know, this is a custody battle. The ex-wife is trying to claim, you know, that the ex-husband, Miss Alex Jones, is mentally unstable. So what does his attorney say? The same thing that attorneys say who represent people in income tax cases. Oh, to the jury, my client was too stupid to understand the law. Please have mercy on him.
You know what's interesting? Go ahead.
So Jones's attorney says, hey, he's just playing a role. This isn't a real guy. You know, he's a good dad at home.
What's interesting about your statement about the IRS is that the IRS commissioner admitted that he doesn't do his own taxes because he doesn't understand the code.
Yeah,
it's that bad. That was a story last week.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, that's the Gestapo.
Yeah.
Literally than the Gestapo. They have the power to destroy you. People have committed suicide over the problems with the Gestapo. And the swamp, called the U.S. Congress, they have allowed the lies and the fraud about the IRS. It's in my column that you're so kind to post. I think you posted it yesterday. People need only to read Tommy Crier's The Memorandum.
Yeah, I noticed when you put him in there, it was very nice of you to mention him like that.
Gosh, it's hard to believe he's been dead almost 5 years.
I can't believe it. I didn't meet him, but I knew a lot about him from you.
He was a great person, but I'll remember, you know, I got to my hotel room in Sacramento and John called me and said, Tommy passed away, and I could not believe. But I mean, it's be 5 years on June the 4th.
That's really
and
hard
you know,
to believe.
Look at how many have passed away. Paul Walter's wife died. Dr. Stan died.
We don't have a lot of people.
Died.
We're a very thin line here, and when we lose people, it hurts, and they're just not replaceable.
People.
Why the hell? The name of Devi's article is "Why the Hell Do Americans Put Up with This Year After Year?" So read it. It's there. And I want to take just a moment to commend you as being one of the few brilliant, truly constitutionally wise female political news analysts and commentators in the media. And I'm very proud always to have you on the program and on the site with your columns. And you know that. We go way back. But I just want people who may be new to this, think about how many really great women there are in this business. And there are a handful at most, and Devi is right there. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you for saying that.
You're very welcome.
We all need to get involved. And if you, once again, if you are unhappy with what Trump is doing, the White House comment line, 202-456-1111. I have called a couple of times myself politely, President Trump. I have not been able to say president for many, many years, but you are our president. I voted for you, but with all due respect, I did not vote for your daughter or your son-in-law, and I feel that it's wrong for them to be in the White House, and I hope you'll take that under consideration. Thank you, and goodbye.
Indeed. All right. You take care of yourself. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Okay. Bye.
Good night. Devi Kidd. And we'll be right back with hour two in just a couple minutes. Hang on.